One of the characteristics of Christianity is that we are the people of the book, or at least in a lot of people's understanding. And certainly that would be more true after the Reformation, and certainly would be more true of the Protestant churches. For us, the book has this kind of strange understanding. You know, we hear it in these snippets rather than allowing it to be something that we read and encounter. But if the whole encounter with God, and when I was growing up, this was just this closed book. There was, we had the big family Bible on our shelf, and it would just slowly gather more dust. We prayed the rosary, we would have those full times of family prayer, but actually encountering God was something that just didn't kind of happen. We hear in the first reading today that the word of God was not common at that time, that people didn't hear the word of God, that the Spirit wasn't so present at that time. And I think we can say that the same for so much of our lives, that sense of not being able to know that our religion, particularly as Christians, is meant to be dynamic, is meant to be this experience of encounter. Not just something that we just choose to engage in, we just choose to listen to the words or to read the words of Scripture, and that's about it. But no, something way more active. The Lord spoke to Samuel, even though he didn't know who was calling to him, what this was all about, what this meant. And it would radically change and transform Samuel, just as it will radically and transform and change the lives of those first disciples who follow the way of Jesus. We're introduced to two of them in the Gospel today, one of whom is named, one of whom is not, and they're followers already of John the Baptist. And that makes sense. There's this openness there. There's this desire within them to seek the truth, to do whatever it is that God is calling them to do. And so they're wanting to be faithful. They're wanting to follow. And so this example that John gives of this radical new possibility of actually being engaged in their faith in a way that makes sense, not just in the dull and dusty worship of God that was present in the temple, but this radical new way of going down into the wilderness and seeing how can we listen to the word of God? How can we encounter God in new and fresh ways? And so when John, in his humility, points to Jesus and says, "Behold, here is the Lamb of God," they, of course, are free to change in their devotion from being disciples of John to now become disciples and followers of Jesus. But it's interesting that they're not the ones to ask the question, as they begin just to simply do that physical process of walking behind Jesus. It's Jesus who takes the initiative. He turns to them and says, "What are you looking for?" And as people who have just begun to read this Gospel of John, I'm sure John has in mind that those who are reading are going to be having the same kinds of questions. What are we looking for? What do we want? What do we want our lives to be about? Now, the question that the disciples reply with, "Master, Rabbi," and it's beautiful that John wants us to be able to encounter this. It's clear that he was likely to be the other disciple that is unnamed. And so he's giving us these beautiful remembrances, the actual Aramaic words that Jesus spoke, the time of day, when all these things transpired, who else was there. He's giving us the eyewitnesses account. But he's not wanting us to be disengaged or alienated in any way. So whenever he uses one of these Aramaic words, as he writes to the Greek-speaking audience, he translates them all into the Greek, because he doesn't want anybody to miss out the beauty and the richness, either of the original or to be confused and lost in those words. Again, it's a great challenge for us as Christians in contemporary society to remember that we still have this obligation. What are the words that we miss? What are the things, the experiences that we don't allow other people to experience and encounter because we use language or words that are confusing or that are insider's language, and don't allow others to experience that richness. But they simply say, Master, where are you staying? Where do you live? And the invitation that Jesus then gives to them is simple and yet beautiful. Come and see. He's always inviting us in the same way, always allowing us to not just hear a set of teachings, not just to experience things that are spoken or are meant to be believed. He wants us to encounter. And so he invites us into that presence. He invites us into relationship. Come and see is the language of relationship. It's the language of encounter. It's the language of somebody being invited into a friendship. That's what God is always wanting for us. Not just that we encounter him in dry and dusty words, but in actual lived experience. And so they come and they see. And John tells us it was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon when all of this happens. You know, there's a vitality. He wants to remember there's something happened in that encounter. His life was never the same. And he is able to remember it. You know, just as I'm able to remember that moment when I was 17 and I first heard the gospel proclaimed when I was in an Antioch youth group. And you know, it was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a Sunday afternoon, sitting in that schoolroom in Bega, St. Pat's Bega, the primary school, and to hear the message of the gospel, and it finally broke through. It wasn't just something that I could believe with my head. It was something that I could experience with my heart. It was something that I could encounter as a person that I could believe in, a person who loved me and that I could love. And that change and that transformation is available to all of us. And Andrew, we're told, was one of the two. And Andrew doesn't want to leave it there. He says, look, this is too amazing. This person that we've met, this person Jesus, he seems to be the Messiah. Perhaps he is the Messiah. And so what does he do? He goes and shares it. He goes and finds his brother, Simon. Simon, come. Come and meet the one who seems to have all of the answers, who's able to engage us in this actual relationship, who seems to be able to open the way to God. Come, come with me. Come and meet him. Come and encounter him. Come and allow your life to also be touched. Allow your questions to be answered in the person of Jesus. And this is the basics of evangelization, this sense that when we discover this truth for ourselves, when we encounter something so good and so wonderful, of course we want to share it. Of course we want others to also encounter the living God and the love that we've discovered and that we've encountered. And in that moment, Simon is also changed. Simon is even renamed, because God calls us and knows us with such intimacy and such delight that our old identity, as wonderful as it is, he wants to change and transform it. For us today, as we continue during this season of discipleship, let's indeed allow the word of God to be heard by us. Let's have that same attentiveness that Samuel had in the temple. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Let's allow the voice of God to call us and invite us into truth. Invite us into that relationship that we can't deny, that relationship that nourishes us, that allows us to experience the tenderness of love with God. It is also too precious and too amazing to be kept to ourselves, that we need to share it. We need to find others to say to them, come, come with me. Come and see and come and meet the living God present here in this church.